Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, no matter where you're listening, around the world, this is Sedona Talk Radio.
Today is Tuesday, March 24th, 2015. The topic of our show today is finding true love. And you can find more information out about the topics that I talk about and the work that I do through pathbacktoself.com and narcissismfree.com. So many people I'm in contact with talk about this idea of true love. We meet someone along the journey of life and feel something different, something that speaks to our soul, something deep and penetrating that touches us in places we've never been touched before. We believe we've found our soulmate, our one true love, but have we, really? The irony of this dynamic is so many people who have this experience of finding someone whom they connect deeply with and feel such a strong bond with end up feeling destroyed by that same bond. It's difficult to understand how one's true love can end up being his or her greatest nightmare. How could that be? I too have had such an experience more than once. And in the end, I was left wondering, do I really have a true love? Is there really a soulmate out there for me? And the answer was a resounding yes, I do have a true love. But it isn't what I was taught to believe it was. It wasn't about the fairy tale fantasies where I'd find that one person out there in the world somewhere who would complete me. To find someone to complete me would suggest I was incomplete in the first place. I was just half a being looking for my other half so that I could be whole. The truth is, I was born with everything I need to live a fulfilling life. But over the course of my life, I began to cut off from parts of myself until well into adulthood. I felt I was only a fragment of myself. I felt something was missing, a big chunk of something. It was easy for me to believe that the something that was missing was someone, especially when in the early stages of a romantic connection, there was such a feeling of love and connection. There was a feeling of being whole. There was a feeling of having that loneliness and emptiness inside of me filled up. There was a feeling of being loved and cared for. Now, I've been on the planet long enough and have enough relationships to know this feeling was usually temporary. Soon the realities of life moved in and two people with deep core wounds began to dance a very different dance. We danced the dance of projection, projecting onto each other everything within ourselves that we have cut off from. In the beginning, perhaps it's our most positive aspects we project outward onto the beloved as we celebrate everything we love about them. But in the end, we project all our darkness and self-loathing, and the outer beloved becomes the enemy, the one we end up fighting with, attacking, reacting to, recoiling from, and eventually cutting off from. I'm not talking just about narcissistic relationships. The dynamic happens in many different kinds of relationships, and the more cut off from our own true self we are, the more we project all those hidden aspects of self onto the other. As we begin the process of reclaiming all those parts of ourself we've cut off from along our life journey, we slowly begin to be restored to wholeness. This is the journey of the self to the self. It is the journey of self-love. It is the journey of revealing the authentic self, the true self, and the journey to finally having true love in our lives. You see, true love is not something we find out there. It's something we cultivate in here, inside ourselves, as we invite home all those aspects we've cut off from and become reunited in love. The love we become reunited in is true and deep and real. When we can learn to love ourselves that deeply, there's nothing or no one who can shake that love from its foundation. The reason we become so destabilized in our relationships, especially the toxic ones, is that we're unstable in our own self foundation. When we're still cut off from so many aspects of ourselves, if we bring someone in and put them in the place of the missing parts, we're setting ourselves up for a fall. We're giving our power away to that person to make us whole, to complete us, and to love us. If one has not yet reclaimed the missing parts of himself or herself, how can he or she truly love another? Self-love is the key to loving others. If we're fragmented, cut off from so many parts of ourselves, we approach our relationships from the fragmented self rather than the true self. The true self is here all along, waiting for us to come home. But if we don't know where to look, we end up looking for love in all the wrong places. It's not that love is not out there as much as it is. Love is everywhere. But if we deny the love that we are, we project our own self-loathing outward. We can't trust love coming to us from out there. We don't believe that people can really love us because we don't believe we're truly lovable. This hidden aspect of self-loathing also causes us to attract people into our lives who end up validating our self-loathing and our belief that we are unlovable. We can so easily end up saying to ourselves, "See, I knew I wasn't lovable. That person didn't love me." The more we cultivate self-love, the more we begin to trust love as it is reflected back to us in the outer world. Also, we begin to attract more people into our lives who are also self-loving rather than self-loathing. And this is the recipe for successful loving relationships, not just the romantic capacity, but in general. We cultivate loving relationships with everyone in our lives who have the emotional capacity to love. The result is we find many loving connections with people we can really trust to be there for us in a real and authentic way. True loving relationships are not about being nice, but about being authentic and lovingly honest. When we're true to ourselves, we learn to speak our truths, and we learn to speak our truths to others in a loving and gentle way. But first and foremost, we learn to be honest with ourselves. It isn't about finding fault with ourselves, but looking at the way we fail to love ourselves, looking at the way we deny ourselves, betray ourselves, abandon ourselves, and abuse ourselves. It's true that much of our self-abusive behavior stems from our early childhood when we receive the messages, either directly or unconsciously, that we are somehow unworthy of love, of care, and of positive attention. These early childhood programs are only reinforced along the way by experiences we have in life that validate the negative programs. If you're running a negative program that says you're not worthy of love, then the life events that are painful will end up being interpreted as, this happened to me because I'm not worthy. This program is reinforced and reinforced until one day, if you're lucky, you have the big breakdown. The big breakdown is the event in your life or series of events that leads you to experiencing an emotional breakdown, a dark night of the soul, or deep depression. The inner message of such an event is, I'm so unworthy of love, why should I continue to live? What is there to live for? When we ask such questions, it may seem this is the beginning of the end, but really, it's the beginning of the beginning. Because until we get to a place of self-inquiry, we don't truly ever question those unconscious programs that end up directing our lives. My work is largely helping to facilitate the journey through the dark night of the soul because I believe this is the most important journey you will ever take. Why? Because it's undoubtedly the journey to the true self. It's the journey that will take you the most deeply into your darkness so that you can meet your limiting core beliefs and the subconscious programs that are keeping you in a repetitive cycle of self-denial and self-abuse. When you're in a cycle of self-denial and self-abuse, you attract others who mirror to you your own self-denial and self-abuse by denying and abusing you in some way. Although most of you just coming out of narcissistic abuse cannot see a relationship as a gift in any way, or that particular relationship as a gift, it ends up being a gift because after a relationship like this, it becomes very difficult to go on living in the same way. Although there's a big part of us that really wants to go on business as usual, we find it very difficult to do so. I hear so many people who say, my life has been destroyed. And I get that. I felt that too. But the deeper truth is your false self, your illusionary self, has been destroyed so that you can seek out the true self. It is truly a process of awakening. The false self is the ideas you've developed about who you are that keep you protected, in a sense, from the pain that has caused you to cut off from the true self. It is human nature to avoid pain and seek pleasure. So in our effort to avoid pain, we cut off from it and superimpose ideas in our personality structure of who we are. You might say to yourself, I'm really not a bad little girl. I'm a good little girl or boy. And you seek out to prove to yourself and others that you are good. Your life becomes about proving that you are good. And you seek others to validate that you are good. But deep down, underneath the need to prove that you are good, is a feeling and an accompanying belief that you are bad, that you are rotten to the core. And this is what we call core shame. As young children, we don't have the emotional skills to do anything differently. But as adults, we can begin to look at the core beliefs that are often hidden deep within us that tell us we are bad, unworthy, unlovable, and so forth. In our true self, we're never bad or unworthy. We're pure, lovable beings. At our very core, we're precious and deeply worthy of love and of life. So as we reveal the false programs, we slowly move closer and closer to the truth of who we are. This is not only the truth for some of us, it's the truth for all of us. personality disorders like narcissism have the same dynamic at its core. There's a deeply embedded false self that's been constructed to cover up one's true self. And the false self may be constructed from ego as being the superior, successful, good-looking winner who is a good and caring person. But underneath that false persona may be a wounded little child who feels deeply unlovable, neglected, and unworthy. When we meet such a person, we see them because they mirror to us on a deep unconscious level our own feelings of unworthiness. The false self of the narcissist is so deeply embedded that the narcissist will rarely ever question it. It has proven successful in keeping that person from his or her deepest pain. And this is the purpose of the false self. It protects us from our pain. This is where our false self originates from. It originates as a protective mechanism from our pain and also out of a program of beliefs telling us who we should be. Alexander Lowen, the author of the book Narcissism, which is a rather old book, and I mention it quite a lot, because he defines narcissism as denial of feeling. It truly is denial of pain. The more cut off we are from our pain, the more we live in an illusionary world created to protect us from our pain. Anything that gets close to our pain becomes the threat and needs to be cut off from as well, which explains why narcissistic people typically devalue and discard the people in their lives who come too close. They're a threat to the protective mechanisms that keep their pain at bay. Ironically, getting too close to a narcissist will often crack our own protective mechanisms that keep us from our pain. The result is we're thrown deeply into our core pain. The pain is not new, as many will believe. It's very old. It's the pain we've been cutting off from the majority of our lives. Our own false self may crumble as a result because it becomes too difficult to keep our protective shields in place. And they fall or become demolished through some life event. We're not only reconnected to our deepest pain, but we're reconnected with our true self. We can't heal our pain until we're able to feel it. Most of us on our journey through pain can understand why the narcissist in our lives has such sophisticated protective defenses to shield him or her from pain. The pain underneath the surface of our awareness can seem unbearable. We wonder why anyone would want to feel this, and we envy those who don't. But the truth is that we can only get our authentic selves or to our authentic selves by being willing to feel that which we have avoided feeling most of our lives. We find the true self on the other side of our pain. And actually, the experience of feeling and being with our pain is a true self experience. The true self is the self we were before we began to install elaborate fantasies or programs to keep us separate from our pain. When the false wall crumbles, we're reconnected to our pain and we begin to walk through it. We begin to reconnect with the parts of ourselves that are real and authentic. It can be easy to get stuck in pain, to feel like a victim and have a poor me look, what he or she did to me, ain't it awful place. In my experience, this is part of the journey. But we're not meant to get stuck here. We only get stuck here when we buy this as the new reality. I am a victim of this person's behavior. My life has been destroyed and I will never get it back. it's important to realize that even though being in that victim place is deeply painful, it is still a coping mechanism to protect you from going more deeply into your pain. The way out of victim is being willing to take responsibility for your experience and being willing to connect with your pain. And once you connect with your pain, you can walk through it and begin to truly foster a relationship with your true self. Fostering a relationship with your true self is true love. You must have compassion for yourself and find a way to love those parts of yourself you've cut off from, such as the inner child aspect that felt so unworthy of love. You must be willing to identify those parts of yourself that are crying out for love, for attention, for connection, and approval, and say to those parts, I love you. I approve of you. I will give you the attention you need. I will connect with you. Now this is true love. This process can take some time. There's no quick fix that I know of, but there must be commitment. How many times have you made a commitment to someone else and yet never really made a commitment to yourself? I've talked before about how 4 years ago I bought myself a special ring and put it on my left ring finger in a ceremony of commitment to myself. I vowed to love, honor, and cherish myself all the days of my life, in good times and bad, in sickness and in health. Regardless of how anyone else treated me, I was committed to treating myself with love, care, respect, and dignity. That commitment has proven to be one of the best vows I've ever made. There's no greater commitment than the commitment to self-love. Some people mistake self-love for selfishness and self-absorption. For a time, selfishness and self-absorption is necessary so that you may have the time with yourself needed to work through your pain and lack of connection to self. Especially if you're going through a dark night of the soul, it's typical of people going through a dark night of the soul to retreat from the world, to retreat from social interaction, and just spend that time in the process of being. The more you work through your pain and reconnect to self, the more you authentically show up for others, and the more that you have to give. Codependency involves giving from an empty cup, hoping that you're going to get it back. Self-love is giving from a full cup with no attachment or need to get it back. Usually when we love ourselves in a deep way, we have a built-in self-protection mechanism where we recognize when our energy is being drained, either by a circumstance in your life, by a group, being in a large group of people, or being drained by a parasitic person. And we remove ourselves in order to refill our energetic cup. Self-care involves self-awareness, knowing where your energy is, when you need to replenish your energy, when you need good nourishing food, rest, sleep, emotional support, exercise, and so forth. The more aware of our needs we are, the more adept we are at tending to our own needs. If you grew up believing your needs were not important, you may have also cut off from your needs. Self-love involves identifying and learning to meet your own needs. often when I ask someone what they need, they can't answer that question. Because many of us, especially those who have walked a more codependent, needless path, are not accustomed to tuning inward to our own needs. We're more used to tending to the needs of others. As I learned to tune in to my own needs, I discovered I need to feel cared about. I need to feel respected. I need to feel valued. I need a lot of downtime. I need to balance social time with quiet time. I need to allow my creativity to be expressed. I need to eat healthy. I need to exercise regularly. I need to connect with others on a deep, authentic level. But most importantly, I need to connect with myself on a deep, authentic level. Understanding our own needs is part of the process of self-love. To see our needs as important and learn to tend to them is part of reparenting the inner child in an environment of love and nurturing. We actually have the emotional capacity to heal many of the wounds of our past through the process of reparenting the part of ourselves we cut off from. We invite that child self back into our lives, apologize for abandoning him or her, and make a commitment to show up for that innocent part of us. This is true love. As we move through our deepest pain, and reconnect with all those parts of ourselves we've cut off from, we begin to integrate those parts back into the fabric of our being, and we begin to experience ourselves as whole. We begin to experience ourselves as perfectly imperfect, meaning we no longer need to strive for some ideal of ourselves as perfect in the warped eyes of our society. We face our deepest loneliness and find a connection with something greater than our small selves, our higher self, God, the Creator, nature, or however you are guided to see this higher aspect. This part of ourselves that is connected to the universe. As we face our deepest loneliness, we begin to fill up that emptiness with all those parts of ourselves we've previously cut off from. That loneliness begins to fill up with a sense of selfness or connection with that higher aspect of self. And this often happens also with our emotions, what we label as dark or negative emotions, even though I do not believe that any emotion is dark or negative. Our society puts these labels on our emotions, that feeling happiness and joy and all those good, warm, fuzzy feelings is good, and feeling pain and heartbreak and grief and anger and rage and all those not so warm and fuzzy feelings but painful feelings are bad. So we have these labels and we tend to cut off from what we consider to be our dark emotions. We reject them, we push them away, they go underground, they go into the unconscious. And a lot of our emptiness, the emptiness that people feel in their lives, is actually from just being half a person, feeling only half of your emotions. So as you invite all of your emotions to be present, you're actually filling yourself up with all of your feelings as you give yourself permission to experience all spectrum of your emotions. you become emotionally whole and complete. And you learn to embrace those dark emotions as part of who you are, as God-given expression. If we weren't meant to have grief or anger or rage or sadness, then why would we be given these emotions? Just like if we were not meant to have rain, if we were meant only to have sunny weather, then why do we have rain? We don't normally judge rain as bad and sun as good. Often we do. Often we will say, it's a bad day today when it's raining, and it's a good day when the sun is shining. But we know that that rain is cleansing. We know that it has a purpose, and so do our tears. So when we fill ourselves up with all that we are, with our selfness, and we feel that connection with the higher aspect of self, this is a spiritual connection or union with the divine, where higher self meets physical self in divine union. We receive much nourishment from this connection, from our alone time, and often seek out this alone time in order to restore our energy and sense of oneness. Especially more introverted people need more alone time, more of that connection with that energy that you find in the aloneness. I find much more nourishment in my alone time at this time of my life than the time I spend with others. Although I have some beautiful people in my life and really enjoy the nourishing connections with them. Although I experience extreme periods of loneliness, or I have in my past, I don't really feel lonely anymore. Because I've filled up that emptiness, that empty space, that lonely space with myself, with the energy of self, with the divine. The more I've walked into my pain, the more I purge my pain, and the less there is to confront. The less unconscious pain there is, the less it runs my life, and the less I need to attract relationships to show me what remains hidden within me. It's brilliant, really. The more we confront our hidden parts, the less we need to have people come into our lives to show us what is hidden within us. We always talk about what is hidden as being our shadow. So the more that we purge that which is hidden within our shadow, the less we need to bring people into our lives to show us what's there. It's not that I myself am never triggered or never feel pain, but it's less now than it was during that time of the dark night of the soul. The pain can still feel intense at times, but it passes quickly as I'm willing to sit with it and release it. I no longer attach to my pain as something that I am, but rather see it as something I'm feeling in the moment that will quickly pass if given permission to be expressed through me. People still trigger me, but not as deeply, because there's less hidden pain within me. There's less to be triggered. But if I am triggered, I take ownership of what is being triggered within me, and I take the time and space to reflect on what is really going on within me. Because I take ownership, there's no need to project outward onto the person who is triggering me. We learn to replace projecting outward with reflecting inward. What is it within me that is disturbed? And why? The more we ask ourselves these kinds of questions, the more self-aware we become. And the more self-aware we become, the more aware of our relationships with others. We take responsibility for our own feelings, and we bow out of relationships that don't feel right. This is true love. So to recap, true love is not something we find with another person. It's something we cultivate within ourselves, and ultimately we share the gift of this inner cultivation with others. We may find a special person in our lives who we share all of who we are with, and this is a great gift. We may find someone who is self-aware and responsible for his or her own feelings and shadow, and this is a great gift. When two truly self-loving people come together, this is true love in union with true love. And what greater love can there be? Don't be fooled into believing that there are no men or women out there whom you can share such an experience with. I've heard this so much. And when you continue to believe this, this is set up in your belief system. This becomes a core belief, and you will prove it to be true. What I would invite you to do instead in this age of self-discovery is realize that there are literally hundreds of thousands of men and women who are in a process of self-discovery, learning these very things that I'm talking about. And although the self-discovery field has in the past attracted primarily women, in fact, for decades it has attracted primarily women, this is changing now. Women's evolution has inspired the evolution of men. And there are more and more men coming into this process of personal and spiritual growth. The reason you may have attracted one unconscious partner after another is because there is something in your soul or your belief system that wanted you to discover what was unconscious within you and what better person to reflect to you your own unconsciousness than an unconscious partner. As you take that which is hidden within you and bring it to light, you'll find that your need to attract unconscious partners fall away. Your soul will attract you people who mirror to you your self-love. And how beautiful is that? It's not that in our relationships, we're still not triggered and we still don't have parts of our shadow being reflected to us. It's just that we learn to handle it in a more mature manner. And if you have two people that are willing to be responsible for their own shadow, then you can work through issues together and come out on top. So trust the process. Know that self-love is the path that leads to true love. Know that you're not destined to live a loveless life of pain. Your spirit is growing and expanding and wants for you to know yourself on the deepest levels. And as you know yourself on the deepest levels, you know love in the truest way. And this is true love. So thank you very much for joining me today. And I will be broadcasting again in about 2 weeks. So join me then. Stay tuned. Again, you can go to pathbacktoself.com or narcissismfree.com to contact me for counseling or to look at some of the information I have and also to check out other episodes. You can check out other episodes. I've got about, years and years and years of episodes of Pandora's Box for you to listen to. So go to blogtalkradio.com or sedonatalkradio.com and you can find a long list of episodes. See you next time. Have a great day.